Luke chapter 1, beginning verse number 46, we'll go through verse 55. You might notice that as the Bible has been divided into chapters and verses, Luke chapter 1 is a very lengthy chapter, 80 verses. We're reading only selected verses here today, but these verses show us how that Mary praised her God. And certainly we should do the same. Follow with me, please, as I begin the reading now in verse number 46. And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He has showed strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. He hath hoped or helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. Now, having read those verses, let me say to you that the topic today is this, magnifying and rejoicing. Magnifying and rejoicing. We see in these verses that we've read, these verses that basically comprise what is known as the Magnificat. Now, what does that word mean? The word Magnificat comes from the Latin word for magnifies, and certainly has a good meaning. It means an utterance of praise. Have you ever praised God? Have you ever praised Him in your mind? Have you ever praised Him in your heart? Have you ever praised Him with your words? That can fit an utterance of praise. And certainly when Mary learned how God was going to use her to be the mother of the Christ child, that was a very special thing in her life. And I believe God chose a godly young woman for that task, and she did not abandon her faith in her God, and she praised Him. Now, when you capitalize that word, Magnificat, and use it as a proper noun, that is what it's talking about. It's talking about the words of praise that were spoken and perhaps sung by the Virgin Mary about what? Concerning God's plan for her to be the mother of Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. That's what Christmas is all about, right? Jesus coming to be our Savior. The Bible says very plainly, the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. And if people mistakenly think they need no Savior, certainly there's a need in their lives, because they need to know that everybody needs Jesus. Everybody needs a Savior. So Mary's praise is very noteworthy, and Mary's praise is similar to that of Hannah in the Old Testament. Do you remember about Hannah, that she prayed for a son and God answered her prayer? Hannah prayed for a son, God answered her prayer, and then she loved the Lord so much, she was so dedicated, she gave her son to the Lord for his service, and she prayed with rejoicing in the Lord. That's a key word today in the message, rejoicing. Magnifying God, rejoicing in God. That's what Hannah did. That's what Mary did. It won't hurt you and me to do the same thing. And so magnifying the Lord, praising the Lord. And I want us to look now at what we've read and give me the opportunity to share some thoughts with you on these verses that we've read. These words that Mary spoke. Now, don't you know that Mary was just as human as everybody in here today? She was. But God chose her for a unique task, didn't He? I've said this before. I believe that Mary and Joseph were godly young people that God used in His plan. And so, what a great story we have of redemption, how that Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Paul said He came to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Have you ever felt like you were the chiefest of sinners? We certainly need to know that we are unworthy of everything God has done, but because of His love and because of His grace, salvation has been made available. So in verse number 46, Mary said. Now again, did she sing those words? There are probably many people who think she did. And this verse doesn't specifically say that. You may find versions or translations that would refer to it as a canticle or a song, but certainly she said. Now, don't you know, if you say something and it has meaning, it might come out in a song. But she said what? She said, "My soul does magnify the Lord." I do not believe that this was just some little exercise in futility. I do not believe that Mary was just saying a few things and just passed the time away. No, it was from her heart. She said, "My soul," I believe from deep down inside her, she had praise for the Lord. And do you know something? It's so like water coming up out of the well that if you got praise down in your heart, it might come out of your mouth every now and then. I'm serious. Now, not everybody has the same personality, but you might be more reserved than somebody else. But somewhere along the line, if you got a song in your heart, you just might say something positive for the Lord.
Amen.
All right. So, "My soul does magnify the Lord." And then in verse 47, she said, "My spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior." So you see, there's no secret where the title came from. In verse 46, she was magnifying. In verse 47, she was rejoicing. So magnify means what? If you get out a magnifying glass, you want something to appear to be larger than it is, right? The word magnify has the meaning of making great, to make great, extol, praise, or celebrate. And so in this context, listen, she cannot make God greater than he was and he is. God is eternally the same. He's perfect in every way. But if we magnify him, it can increase our estimation of God. It can increase how we view God in our lives. So magnifying the Lord, that's a good thing to do. When we have so many people in the world that are not interested in God, and that's not to discourage you, that's just being real. When we have so many that are not interested in the things of God, we need to not get so discouraged that we quit on God. We need to not get so discouraged that we are ungrateful for what he's done, especially when we think of how God saved us. He brought us up. Isn't the expression true? He brought us up out of the miry clay and he put our feet on the rock to stay. Isn't that what the Lord has done? Absolutely. And so Mary, like Hannah, had a basis for magnifying the Lord in her soul and in her spirit and rejoicing in the Lord. And listen, we need that too. Now, I'm not going to stand here and tell you that, oh, I'll never have a problem that makes it very challenging for me to be happy. That would not be realistic. Everybody has the ups and downs in life. But here's what I do believe. It doesn't matter if it's you or me or anybody else. If we really know the Lord and if we love the Lord, we may not understand everything. We may not enjoy everything, but we can still have rejoicing in our hearts, trusting that somehow, some way, God will see us through. He's been doing that for a long time. And do you know, this is not rocket science, as they might say, but do you know that you wouldn't be here today and I wouldn't be here today if it was not for the grace and mercy of God? We wouldn't be here at all. He has protected us from being killed in accidents. He has kept us from dying of sickness. I mean, so far, we're here. That's pretty much stating the obvious right there. So Mary had a lot to be thankful for in her special situation, but we do too. Nobody else is in the role that Mary had, but you're where God can use you. And every one of us is, and we need to have that praise for him. Let me ask you, if magnifying is increasing our estimation of God, like making him more important in our lives, what is our estimation of God today? Here it is, late in the year, near Christmas time. It's okay to think about God every day, of course, and we should. But what is our estimation of God right now? And if we want to focus on Christmas time, knowing that, yes, some people are happy and some people are sad, listen, the spiritual things make a difference. The spiritual things make a difference. Don't you know, without me telling you, you can take all the fun things that people do at Christmas time, all the gift giving, all the visiting and the laughing and all like that, and a lot of that may be fine and good, but that won't take the place of spiritual things. It won't take the place of having joy in the Lord in your heart. So do we magnify him? Do we magnify him in our hearts and lives? That's the emphasis I would put to you in the form of questions. Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior." Now, I don't want you to miss that part. In verse 47, she said, "God my Savior." You mean the one we know as the Virgin Mary needed a Savior? Absolutely. Because she was human, just like all the rest of us. He was Mary's Savior. And she rejoiced in that. So let me ask you, is he your Savior? Now, I know I'm talking to people that come to church a lot, but I'm asking. You've already heard the question from the song leader today, I believe. Do you know Jesus? Do you really know the Lord as your Savior? And listen, it's not based on how good we are. It's based on how good He is. It's not based on what we can do. It's based on what He's already done for us. Jesus came into the world and He lived a perfect life. And He died as the perfect sacrifice for sin that we might be saved. So Mary had a basis to praise the Lord. And she said, God, my Savior. I certainly believe, I sincerely believe that Mary had a genuine faith in God. Is that what you have? Is that what we all have? I hope so. In verse 48, you have the word henceforth. That word means from now on. Even if you used it in conversation today, you say henceforth. Now, you might not go around using that word, but that's the idea. From now on. From now on, what? You see, things will never be the same again. Isn't that true? Mary was certainly in a situation where things changed in her life. Things would never be the same as when she was even younger than what she was. And things change in our lives too. We can't live the past over again, can we? Things will never be the same as they were. And it's a good thing if you've gone out of darkness into light that things will never be the same again. It's a good thing if you've gone from being lost to being saved, things will never be the same again. And so she rejoiced in her Savior. And she went from being what could be viewed as a poor, unknown Hebrew girl to the most honored woman in the history of the world. I would just suggest this for your thinking, since I shared that with you, that someone has said she went from being a poor, unknown Hebrew girl to the most honored woman in the history of the world. Think about it. Could that be true? Or is that just hype? Well, think about all the kings and queens and women that have been in prominent roles, whether it's politics or education or whatever it might be. Is there anyone that's better known by name than Mary? You might be hard-pressed to find one whose name is better known. Now, I would suppose thousands or millions of people have been named Mary. But when we talk about Mary in any kind of Christian context, most everybody knows who you're talking about. So how did her life change? She let God use her. And that's a good thing that she did. Listen, when Mary said, I'm going to magnify the Lord, I'm going to rejoice in the Lord, I don't think she was being proud. You know, God chose her for that task. I see nothing in the Bible that indicates she got sinfully proud, like, oh, I'm the special one. I don't see that in the Bible. No, not at all. She was recognizing and accepting the gift that God had given to her. I want to read some quotations to you. Think about this. Pride is refusing to accept God's gifts or taking credit for what God has done. Humility is accepting the gifts and using them to praise and serve God. Someone said, don't deny, belittle, or ignore your gifts. And thank God for them and use them to His glory. Now, I want to mention another thing about Mary and her reference to God, her Savior. We have a variety of religious backgrounds in the world. Even in this congregation today, there's been some variety of what kind of church you grew up in or what kind of church you used to go to and that kind of thing. Not everybody has the same belief on everything. I'm saying that to say this. There are many people who are very sincere, who view Mary because of Catholicism as being at a level above what the Bible teaches. And we need to know that Mary viewed God as her Savior. Mary is not above other people. Now, Mary was blessed among women. The Bible teaches that. Absolutely. But I want to say to you that respecting and honoring Mary does not warrant worshiping her or praying to her. There's your reminder. Mary is not to be worshipped. She's not to be prayed to. We're to pray to the one that she knew was her Savior. We're to worship the one that she knew was her Savior. So I wanted to emphasize that for us. here today. Now, when you look beyond that, and you see where she said, from this time on, all generations would call me blessed. Again, I don't think that was with sinful pride. I think that was because she was accepting the role that God had for her. Verse 49, she says, He that's mighty has done great things to me. Isn't that a good thing? Doesn't that sound good? He that's mighty has done great things for me. Great things to me, and holy is his name. Oh, listen, you don't need a preacher to tell you that God has done great things, do you? You don't need everybody around you to tell you, because if you just look around and use good common sense, you know that God has been good to you. God has done things for you that nobody else could ever do. And sometimes we probably don't give him enough credit for what he's done. You know, sometimes I believe God protects us from bad situations that we might not even realize he's done it. Or maybe don't think about it enough. And then he does some things for us that are so obviously things of blessing. So God is good to us. And so Mary recognized that. Somebody might wonder, well, what kind of great things had God done? Well, we're not given a list of those things. But I do believe this, in her life, in your life, in mine, if you just started thinking about the good things and the great things God has done, you won't run out of material, so to speak. Because you'll keep on thinking of something good God has done for you. Are you thankful? If we started a list, we wouldn't get to the end of it. Where would the end be? But are you thankful for salvation? Are you thankful for your family? Are you thankful for church? Are you thankful for friends? Those are some things that are worthy of our consideration. And so God is able to do these great things. You and I might choose to do things to help family and friends, and we all understand that. We may do it because we care, and that's a wonderful thing. But there's none of us that's equal to what God can do. Mary was right, don't you think? When she said, to me, he has done great things. And listen, she wasn't very old at that time, as best we understand the scripture. She wasn't like, oh, I've been here 100 years, and I have learned as I've gotten older that God has been good. Now, you know, if you get to that age and you've learned it, that's good. But what I'm saying is, Mary knew when she was rather young that God had done great things in her life. Is there anybody here today that can think back to when you were a child or a teenager, and even then you realized that God was being good to you? If you can think back that far, remember something positive, that's a good thing. But whatever your age is, whatever your background is, be thankful for the great things and the good things God has done. And if you don't want to be down in the dumps, being thankful might just help. It's easy to get down in those dumps, isn't it? It is. But being thankful can help to guard against that. So be thankful, be grateful, magnify the Lord, praise the Lord, rejoice in the Lord. That's what we need to do. Now, again, it doesn't matter if it's you or me. It might not always be easy because challenges come along the way. But you see, that's where we don't need to be, please listen carefully, we don't need to be shallow Christians. Now, to be a Christian at all is better than being lost. But after we get saved and we become Christians, we need to grow in the Lord. And we need to learn what the Bible says. We don't ever know it all, but we need to add to our knowledge, need to grow and become stronger. Grow in the Word, as the Bible teaches. Well, listen, God is the mighty one. He did great things for Mary. He's the one that protects his children. He's the one that fights for his children. There's no doubt about that. He's the one that does so much. And listen, in the last part of verse 49, it said, Holy is his name. There's a Bible verse that says, Holy and reverend is his name. Do we live in a world where people defame and disgrace the name of God? Absolutely. But let me tell you, it ought not to, and I say this not being mean, it ought not to be you, and it ought not to be me that does it. Can anybody agree with that? Amen. We need to have reverence for the name of God. I think Satan is very successful in getting people to just flippantly use God's name in profanity when they really need to know the God that they're talking about by name in their lives by faith. So holy, Mary said, is his name. She was right, wasn't she? The Bible says, I repeat, holy and reverend is His name. God's name is holy. It's unique. It is set apart from all other beings. Mary knew that His name was holy, and so should we. Do you remember that in the Ten Commandments that we find in Exodus chapter 20, God said that people are not to take His name in vain? Y'all have heard that, haven't you? Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. And the Bible also teaches there that if people did that, they would not be free of guilt. So when people drag God's name through the mud and defame the name of God, God's aware of that, just like He's aware of everything else that we do. So God's name must be honored. And this commandment to not take His name in vain could be viewed as forbidding any frivolous use of God's name. And certainly it would prohibit the using of God's name in a curse. Well, that's a good reminder. In verse 50, Mary said, His mercy is on those that fear Him. Aren't you glad of that? And by the way, to fear Him, we can talk about that a little bit, but God's mercy is there. Aren't you glad God is merciful, which pretty much means He spares us from what we deserve? He's a merciful God. Absolutely. He's a merciful God. And Mary said it's from generation to generation. Here she was, a young person, but that was a Bible truth right there. From generation to generation, God does not fail. His promises do not fail. His mercy is on them that fear Him. I want to read to you something from Barnes' notes. This is commentary type material. And Barnes' notes indicate that His mercy or favor is shown and manifested to the miserable and guilty, to those who reverence or honor Him. Now, I want you to consider this quotation about fear. One kind of fear is that which a servant has of a cruel master, or which a man has of a precipice, the plague, or death. This is not the fear which we ought to have toward God. It is the fear which a dutiful child has of a kind and virtuous father, a fear of injuring his feelings, of dishonoring him by our life, of doing anything which he would disapprove. It is on those who have such fear of God that His mercy descends. This is the fear of the Lord, the fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom. So before we get past this verse, listen, God's mercy does extend from one generation to another, from one age to another. It is unceasing, it continues, and it abounds. The Bible repeatedly tells us, and you can check it out even in the Old Testament if you choose to, the Bible repeatedly tells us that the mercy of the Lord, the same mercy I believe that Mary was talking about from generation to generation, it says the mercy of the Lord endures forever. That's a good thing to know right there. Then you go to verse number 51, and Mary said, He has shown strength with His arm, and He scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. In the Bible, the arm is a symbol of strength. And so God's strength with His arm figuratively describes His activity and His power as Savior of His people. Now this verse, along with the next couple of verses, portrays a reversal in the end times. So what do we mean by a reversal in the end times? Do you know, according to the Bible, the day will come? We don't know when, but the day will come in God's plan when all the problems of this world will be dealt with. You believe that? All the problems of this world will be dealt with by the power of God. People can't solve everything. Have you noticed that? They may promise they can, or they may act like they can, but they can't solve everything. Only God can. And I believe that we have hope in Christ. I also believe that we'll never have true peace in this world until the one who is the Prince of Peace straightens everything out. But He will someday. And so God is able. And there will be a reversal when those who have abused power will be judged. Those who have suffered persecution will be exalted. And Mary was looking forward to that day when God's people would no longer be oppressed, but would instead be blessed by the Lord. And when it says here that He scatters the proud in the imagination of their hearts, listen, people are no match for God's power to scatter them. I'll give you one example of how people cannot go against God if God chooses to deal with the situation. Do you remember in the Old Testament, the story of the Tower of Babel? The people in their worship decided they're going to build this tower that reached to heaven. God stopped that, didn't He? He stopped it in that case by confusing their language where they couldn't understand one another very well. And then things went different from then on. In other words, people cannot go against God and succeed. God has the ability to scatter the proud, as Mary said those many years ago. In verse 52, there it says he's able to put down the mighty from their seats. Oh, some people enjoy their mighty high seats, don't they? Some enjoy their lofty positions. Some enjoy their seats of power. But God can bring down, he can humble the proud, and he can exalt, or he can lift up the humble. Which is better in life? Is it better to be proud and be brought down by the Lord, or is it better to be humble and let the Lord lift us up? We know the answer, don't we? We need to be humble before the Lord. I think about this many times. The Bible says we are to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. We are to humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord. And that's an individual responsibility. That's what we need to do. And so God can do that. And you can see in this verse number 53 that he can take care of things appropriately. So yes, he can exalt people when needed. He can put people down when needed. It says he fills the hungry soul with good things. He fills the hungry soul with good things. And that's a good thing to know. And whether people are poor and hungry are rich and satisfied, God deals with people appropriately. In verse 54, it says he has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. In remembrance of his mercy. Yes, the mercy of the Lord, as in verse 50, is on those that fear him from generation to generation. And here we see, in remembrance of that mercy, he has helped his servant Israel. Listen, if you go to the Bible, you cannot deny that Israel has had and does have a place in God's plan. And the idea of Israel being God's servant is addressed frequently in the book of Isaiah. So Israel has a special role in serving God and revealing him. And this verse shows that God helped or assisted the people of Israel when they were in danger of falling or being overthrown. God did not forget to demonstrate his mercy. How do we see that he did not forget? Because it says in remembrance of his mercy. God does not forget to be merciful. He does not forget to show his grace. If people reject him, they miss his heaven. But God is merciful, and he's gracious, and he's loving. But people still have to be accountable, and God is good, no doubt about it. He demonstrates his mercy. Have you ever experienced God's mercy in your life? Have you ever looked back on something that you've been through, and you just think to yourself, well, I surely made it through better than I should have. The Lord's been good to me. The Lord has been merciful to me. That's a good thing to know right there. God does not forget to demonstrate his mercy, and he is faithful to remember your labor of love. Check it out in the New Testament if you want to study that. He's not going to forget. When you love him and live for him and work for him, he knows the effort you put forth, and he's not unfaithful to forget your labor of love. Well, we come to verse 55, and we see that that was in accordance, how he helped Israel, that was in accordance with what he had promised in the past. Mary's life related to God's actions. God's actions in her life were based on commitments he had made centuries before. God kept his promise to Abraham to be merciful to God's people forever. Christ's birth fulfilled the promise, and Mary understood this. She was not surprised when her special son eventually announced that he was the Messiah. Let's go beyond the birth of Christ for just a moment. Do you realize that Mary, the mother of Jesus, was near the cross when Jesus died? Do you know that perhaps she experienced what was mentioned earlier of the sword going through her own life or her own soul? Can you imagine, man or woman, can you imagine the heartache that Mary had when she knew the life of Jesus? She knew how God had used her, and there he was being crucified, guilty of no sin. Mary, a special person, but she was used of the Lord. She had known about Jesus' mission from before his birth. And just remember that his mercy will last forever. Okay, I'm nearly through today, But I want you to please remember with me, when we talk about the Magnificat, we're talking about Mary praising God. And specifically, we're talking about from these verses today, Mary was magnifying the Lord in her life. She was rejoicing in the Lord in her life. And that's still a good thing for people to do. There is no doubt about it, to rejoice in the Lord. So let me ask you, do you know the Lord? Mary knew that God was her Savior. Do you know that He is yours? There's no better day than today to make sure that you know the Lord is your Savior. And Mary magnified the Lord with words of praise from her heart. So let me ask you, can't we do the same? Can't we magnify God? Even if you're not always saying things out loud to other people, in your heart, can't you be magnifying the Lord? I know that we can, if only we will. We have a lot to be thankful for. We can be thankful for salvation. We can be thankful for the Christian life. To God be the glory. Great things He has done. Let's stand and bow our heads for prayer, please.